We're certainly happy that you're here today. Invite you to follow along with us concerning the things that we have to say today. We have several charts that we'll look at in just a moment as we study a lesson together. In 2 Kings chapter 4, and in verse 1 through 7, 2 Kings 4, and in verses 1 through 7, it says, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? She said, your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. But when you have come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels, and set aside the full ones. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. And he said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. He said to her, go and sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest. Maybe you've heard the expression sometimes from different people that I'm at the end of my rope. When I was thinking about that, I thought about when might be a time in my life, Lynn's life, that we might have felt that we were at the end of our rope. I guess for us, it would have been in the fall of 1998, spring of 1999, to where Ruth, she had just been diagnosed with cancer. I had gone down there. She had a tumor in her brain, and by the time I got down there the next day, she had formed several tumors. So after staying down in Alabama for several days with her, we made arrangements that she would come back up to Louisville and go to a nursing home and there see what happens. Well, the nursing home didn't work out, and we just took her home. Had to get all of our things out of our bedroom. Had to call hospice, get a hospital bed in. And Lynn, for 24 hours a day, for the next several months, she cared for her mother in all sorts of ways that I never thought that we would see that. Until she finally died of brain cancer. But the other part of being at the end of the rope was I also had an aunt, Cleta, that was getting ready to die. She was full-blown dementia by that time. I had a mother that had spasmodic torticollis. And also, she was in the beginnings of Alzheimer. So I had one with cancer, had one with Alzheimer, had one with dementia. Had two children still at home that we were caring for, that we were doing things, hauling them all sorts of different places at that time because we didn't want anything to change for them. And besides that, everything else that we had to do, well, I thought, I don't know if we're going to be able to do all this or not. Maybe you feel that you're at the end of your rope sometimes. I know a lot of people feel this concerning debt, feel that they're at the end of the rope. Especially after the holidays, a lot of people extend themselves during the holidays and then they don't think about it, and then comes time for the bill to be due and don't know exactly what they're going to do. There's other taxes that have to be paid, income taxes that have to be paid, real estate taxes have to be paid sometime. So a lot of people feel like they're at the end of the rope concerning that. Maybe for some people it's alcohol. They feel like they're at the end of their rope. They just can't seem to beat this. It might be that you're having some disease at this time. Maybe you're having some surgery at this time. You feel like you're at the end of the rope. On the other side here that I haven't thought about, had this slide for a good while. But even the nurses now, they feel like they're at the end of their rope. I think it's New York City this week. About 10 or 12,000 nurses are going to go on strike. So you can imagine what's going to happen with healthcare in New York City over the next week. I know there's been a lot of people in here over the years that have had their children involved in drugs in some form or another. For a parent, sometimes you feel like you're at the end of your rope because you just don't know what to do with that situation. Or this little girl here whose parents have broke their covenant with God, and they decided they don't want to be together anymore. And maybe even little ones sometimes are wondering what's going to happen. Or it might be that a loved one dies, and I've seen this so much of the time, and what they're going to do. They're at the end of their rope. I thought about four characters here. We're not going to spend too much time on them, but Job. Job, he lost his servants. He lost his commerce or his ability to make money. He lost his children. And he lost his health. Maybe after all that, maybe some people would feel that they're at the end of their rope if they would have to go through all that. Joseph, when he was sold to the Midianites, I, I suppose Joseph lived maybe a different life than his brothers lived. From Leah, a different mother than Rachel, or from the others that were born to different women. But Joseph, when he was sold into slavery, I suppose maybe he thought that he was at the end of his rope. Maybe he's asking the question. I'm sure during that time they would be beat pretty good, so that they would know that they need to stay in submission. And Joseph was probably no different from that standpoint. They didn't care. The Midianites didn't care that he was Rachel's son. Maybe he thought, well, what about this business about my brothers bowing down and my father bowing down? Maybe for a few seconds, maybe he thought he was at the end of his rope. Didn't understand maybe the full message that was going to happen to him. Or Paul. Paul has a thorn in the flesh. The thorn here, we've talked about this so many times before. I think the Greek word is scallops, just like you eat scallops for seafood. But it's an impalement. It's something, you talk about Vlad the Impaler years ago. This is something impaling the Apostle Paul. So it has great pain involved with it. I don't know. Maybe he thought he was at the end of his rope concerning that. He prayed to God several times that it be removed. The Lord said, "My grace is sufficient for you." Or Peter, this is about the time that James is put to death. And I suppose now in Acts chapter 12. Let's turn over there. In Acts chapter 12. Acts 12 and in verse 1 through 5. It says, now about that time Herod the king had laid hands on some who had belonged to the church in order to mistreat them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter. And logically, you would think Peter would think, well, this is the end of my rope. James has been put to death. Certainly, it's probably going to happen to me as well, but that wasn't the situation. The angel comes and smotes Peter to get him up. Well, let's look at this story of the widow for just a moment. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7 that we read in the beginning, she's at the end of her rope. First of all, there is despair. A certain woman cried out to Elisha. Cried out means that she's weeping uncontrollably. Not crying out saying, oh, please, help me with this. But she's crying uncontrollably over what has happened in their life. death. Her husband is dead. What it would be like to face the future, many of you already know, being widows, widowers, to face the future without the one that you love, the one that gave you so much security in your life. And this is her situation. Thirdly, going along with my preacherly duties here of all of these, debt. The creditor is coming to take my son to be his slaves. She's in debt. Crying out uncontrollably. I remember Ron Singleton telling me years ago, after his father died, all these children, Ron's brothers and sisters, him, they were all very young when his father had a stroke and died. And his mother Mary, he said he could remember her sitting at the kitchen table crying out loudly. She knew what to do. She was in debt. Her husband was dead. She had children to feed. She had bills to pay. And this was the situation here with this woman. And now, not so much a, well, maybe it is sort of a debtor's prison. And then lastly, devotion. You know that your servant, my husband, feared the Lord. All these things we get from verse 1. He's one of the sons of the prophet. He's one of the students of Elisha. He tried to do what was right. He tried to love the Lord. He tried to serve the Lord. And now this has come upon us. So, 3 points. The lesson's yours. Point number one. She took her problems to God. She took her problems to God. By going to the prophet Elisha. She did what Job did. Took his problems to God. She did what Joseph did. Took the problems to God. Did what Paul did. Took the problems to God. Did what Peter did. Took the problems to God. So he asked the question, what do you want done? Or what do you expect to be done? He's making her see the enormity of her problem. And this is an enormous problem for a widow. She had no money. Children, they're getting ready to be sold into slavery. And the other side of this, not only to realize the enormity of her problem, but the smallness of her solution. What do you have? I got a jar of oil. That's all I have. most people now, they say, well, I got stocks and bonds, and I have, you know, my house over here, and the net worth of this is so much money. And over here, I have this and that. I have four closets full of clothes. I have. She has a jar of oil. One jar of oil. What do you have in the house to ease the solution? That's it. Jar of oil. Every problem is an opportunity to trust God. If you don't have any problems, if I don't ever have any problems, there's no reason for me to trust God. Because what happens is people, they just trust in themselves. They'll sit down at the end of the table and they'll say, with no problems in their life, they'll say, I haven't had any help from anybody. I've made everything in my life. I am a self-made man or a self-made woman. But then, when you have problems, second point, her faith was greatly tested. God put her faith to the test. Here we go again, verse 3 and 4 that we read earlier. Then he said, go borrow vessels from everywhere. From all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour it out into all these vessels and set aside the full ones. Get all the vessels. That doesn't make sense. You ask people today. When I was a kid, and on Wednesday night, I'd be out playing after school, and at a certain time, immediately, I would know to come inside. Yeah, the kids, they say, Rob, where are you going? I got to get ready for church. Church. That's great. How many times a week do you go to church? How many times have we heard that? Well, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to people. It doesn't make sense to people to be baptized. When we're at the end of our rope, that's when our faith is tested. Are we willing to step on the faith or just serve God when things are going well? In James and in chapter 1, James chapter 1 and in verses 2 and 3, familiar to many. James 1, 2 and 3, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Faith. Faith that makes no sense in the eyes of the world, just like we talked about last week in our first lesson on Wednesday night, Noah. how many hundreds, thousands, millions of people were saved? Eight. It didn't make any sense. It didn't make any sense to anybody else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 25. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Last point here, and the lesson's yours. She learned to fully trust in God. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 5 through 7. The end of the story. So she went from him, shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, she said to her son, bring me another vessel. He said to her, there is not another vessel. So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God. He said, go and sell the oil and pay your debt. And you and your sons live on the rest. To fully trust in God. For this woman, it was vessels. For Moses, it was a staff, a stick. For David, it was a couple of smooth stones. And they all fully trusted in God. Why the point of this? The more you trust in God, the more He'll amaze you. And in conclusion, sometimes God doesn't change your situation. Why am I having to go through this? Sometimes God doesn't change your situation because He is on a mission to change your heart. And we've seen that many times in the Lord's church. You might be in the audience this morning, not a Christian, understanding the condition that you're in right now, to need a Savior, to be baptized into Christ. Or it might be that you've left the Lord for a period of time and you desire to come back. Whatever your need might be, we invite you to come now while together we stand, we sing.